Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We are currently answering questions from our listeners in our annual question and answer series. Follow along today as we take up from where we left off last Friday. This one is quite different. Usually I don't answer these publicly. I do answer them privately, but it says, I was just wondering what you believe about something. Do you believe it's okay for married couples to use birth control? Well, let me say this. I answered him and tried to answer him scripturally, but I wasn't really a person that could say, well, this is definite, that is definite. So I want you to listen to my answer to him as I answered his question with doubt. Okay, with doubt. So listen. I said, I hope you will forgive me for being slow in answering your question. I've had a full schedule the last 2 weeks. In answer to your question, I remember old Dr. John R. Rice said, no birth control. He added that God made us to reproduce and replenish the earth. In addition, the two sons of Judah who refused to impregnate their elder brother's widow, they were killed by God when they did not do what they were supposed to do. The ones who say no birth control will tell you that it was ordained of God, and God did not change his decree in the Bible. It is still important to obey the word of God and not allow culture and society to dictate any change. More arguments are seen in those who say, with the increase of Muslims and other false religions, we need a growing Christian population to evangelize the world. Well, in all honesty, sir, I am probably not a good one to answer this. I was married in 1969. We had 3 children born to us and 4 who were miscarried. My wife used pills to not get pregnant, yet she had a miscarriage and a baby while taking them. After the second child was born, she had had what was called an IUD, and the result of that was a tubular pregnancy in which my wife almost lost her life. Our third child was born, and we had one more miscarriage after that, and the doctors recommended highly to tie things up, to tie the tubes, that she would not have any more children. On the other hand, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they covered their nakedness with fig leaves. It wasn't modest enough. It wasn't nearly enough. So God clothed them with coats of skin. Now, in the Bible, men wore robes as well as women. Jesus wore robes, and when we find that we get to heaven, we will be dressed in robes of righteousness. Now, people have used the breeches worn by the priest to okay men to wear pants. However, if one reads the passage in context, they'll find out the breeches describe what we today call boxer shorts, that is, underwear. And I don't think you want a man walking around in his underwear. But then it was worn under the holy garments as they ministered inside the tabernacle and later the temple. Biblically speaking, as we look ahead to heaven, is the standard a masculine-looking robe for men and a feminine-looking robe for women? Or is the issue modesty and distinction of sexes? Now, I personally have chosen modesty, and as a result, I wear pants. But from a biblical standpoint, I must say that it's just as wrong for men to wear pants as it is for women. The Bible is clear that a man is to wear not that which pertains to a woman, nor a woman to a man. Now, there are breeches that are pink, have flowers, and are very feminine looking. Listen, I won't wear pink dress shirt, so I don't want to even give the hint of that. But I sit here, I would not wear them. Yet, I could be wrong for wearing pants, since God originally clothed men in robes. After the fall, Jesus wore robes, and in heaven we wear robes. Now, I said all that to go back to the original question. Is it wrong to kill babies by abortion? Is it wrong to prevent conception? Now, I chose as a young man to believe that I needed to be able to afford the child and support the family. Now, my wife and I are on the backside of our mid-60s. We're not that far from our 70s. So, really, that doesn't apply to she and I any longer. But I've never counseled people to not have birth control. On the other hand, I've never told them to have as many as you can. The only standard that could be related to the Bible that I have heard is this. Number one, the earth is replenished and the commandment is fulfilled, just as Jesus Christ had fulfilled the law and we no longer offer sacrifices. Number two, the imperative commands concerning children in the New Testament era are about how you raise children, not on birth control or no birth control. On the other hand, there are people who have taken pill and had surgery in order to have children. So the question would be asked if that is right, since God had denied them otherwise. So my friend, what you have to decide is on faith. I've given you some biblical arguments that are offered, but I do not believe I can say with certainty either way. And I would not want to give an answer based on my reasoning rather than thus saith the Lord. I do not want to mislead anyone, but I also want your faith to be in the Lord. I don't want anyone to say it is right or it is wrong based on what I say it is. That would be placing their trust in me. The final authority must always be the Word of God, and we act upon what it says. So, my friend, I would highly implore you to get into the Word, study to get to know it, and as the Lord impresses it on your heart, you'll act accordingly. The final authority, again, is always the Word of God. Thanks for the question. I do see the blessing in this is the desire to do right in the sight of God. Is that a blessing? This person wants to do right in the sight of the Lord, and he's asked this question, to which this old preacher cannot give him a good answer. Some of you out there probably think I could have given him a lot better answer than you did. And you're probably right, and I would not argue that with you at all, but I just want you to know that's the answer that I gave. Okay, now, as we continue our question-answer period, this question comes from a pastor who is pastoring his first church, and so I guess following us in one way or another, he wrote and asked me for this, and so it's not just one question. I believe there are five questions here, and so I answered each question accordingly. But so I just wanted to set the framework that this is a pastor who is a young pastor pastoring his first church and wanting to do right, and just some questions that he had. And so let me just get right into it here. He says, I'm working on some material to help believers boldly share their faith in Christ. Now, that's a good thing. The course outline is about 75% complete, but I wanted to know if you would help me make sure I got all the important elements covered. Could you help me by answering a few questions? Well, I'm so glad that he would ask me. I'm not sure I'm the best guy to answer, but we tried to answer this. So let me give you his questions and my answer. What is the number one obstacle to sharing your faith in Christ? Well, my answer is this. For new Christians who are going through a course and learning it for the first time, the biggest obstacle seems to be fear, especially if they try it once and someone gets mad or makes them feel foolish or they are ridiculed. Now, first, I would suggest memorizing 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And we need to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, we read this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, one example of this is given by Jesus Christ in Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." A witness does not have fear if he is walking in the Spirit. He must realize it is not his method, although he needs to give it his best effort. Rather, it is the power of God working through the Word of God that does not return void. He must brandish the weapons of love, bless, do good, and pray for in our warfare. Satan loves to use fear to neutralize a Christian's witness. The second thing I'd see is described in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Now, those cares, riches, and other things may not be evil in and of themselves. They are time consumers that become a hobby or something else with which we are occupied or infatuated. For some, it will be their children's sports and other activities. Some, it is the internet, Facebook, social media, so forth. And they are occupied with it and don't see evil since they aren't involved in bad internet, bad Facebook, etc. Although a lot of gossip goes on Facebook, by the way. Let me just insert this. Gossip on Facebook is still gossip. It's still sin. It's still sowing discord. And it's still as abominable to God as is homosexuality. And that is free. Now, as a result of these people being involved this way, they lose the first love of souls and then no longer have a desire. Rather, they go through the motions of it. It can become a duty as carrying out the garbage instead of a ministry of reaching lost souls. What a shame to have a visitation time scheduled at your church. And you know that it's scheduled, but you just seem to not be able to go. Yet during that same time, if your children suddenly have a playoff game or some kind of game or something special going on, you can get up and go, and you can leave whatever it was. You can make an excuse to your pastor. Doesn't mean a whole lot because the ultimate answerability is to God. And so those are the two things, fear and then the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things that become an obstacle into sharing our faith in Christ.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the power.